America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's Jeffrey Wright and Company.
Tell your story.
Live on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. Dennis Fuller's producing the program for us. Glad that he is with us. My company this week is the director and head coach of Team Thad. You follow him on Twitter, on X, at DreamBigHerd. Follow him on Instagram. I am Coach Herd. Team Thad Nation on social media as well. Norton Herd the Fourth. Good day, sir.
Yes, sir. Happy to be here, man.
Good to have you with you, man. Or good to have you with us. So let's tell everybody what we got coming up on the program. It's Monday. It's Overreaction Monday. We'll react to a few things that we saw over the weekend. I want to get coach's thoughts on Zaire Williams getting dealt. We got the Summer Grizz. We got Team USA. We'll mainly keep it to hoops during the first segment. Then we'll welcome Jason Munns to the program. We'll talk some Tiger basketball with Munns when he joins us, as he does each and every Monday on the program. Coach is fresh off of a Peach Jam trip. We'll start the list. We'll talk all things Peach Jam. Lots of big names. Want to get the sights, the sounds. Also, we got all teams in the NFL. They have all reported to training camp. We got some holdouts. We got Aaron Rodgers talking about trips to Egypt. We'll get into all that. Also, maybe some little fight game as well. We'll get into a few other things during hour number two. We'll tell your story, and then we will get out of here. But I say let's just get right into it, Coach. What do you want to start with? You want to start with Grizz? You want to start with Team USA? What strikes your fancy?
I'm open. USA been a big deal.
So 43.5 point favorites. I guess let's start with Team USA. My first overreaction is it's really tough for me to sit there and get bent out of shape about a exhibition showcase game. I understand that kind of the way that it happened, people are a little bit jarred, but I know South Sudan's going to be in their group in Olympic play, but to me, I just found myself going like, this is kind of flukish. I'm just not all that worried. I still am going to be absolutely stunned if anyone wins gold other than Team USA.
I somewhat agree. I agree that they're going to win gold. I agree that they're going to be very dominant. But where some people saying you're overreacting, I still think that was too close, Jeffrey. For that
you
level
were a 43.5 point favorite, and the game came down to the last possession. And let's be real, you kind of needed the officials to swallow the whistle on that on the last drive.
For sure, and so that's why I say, this might sound crazy. I think Team USA should be mad right now at themselves. I know it was just an exhibition game in some people's eyes, but I saw another segment on some sports shows, Jeffrey, where they were saying this is what makes the older generation and the 92 Dream Team. They don't play around like this. They didn't do things like this. They showed you Charles Barkley was elbowing people up 70 points, and they were mean. And so they saying that's what separated that team and they're saying our niceness can catch up with us.
I guess the only thing that I struggle with, though, is wouldn't you agree globally basketball's better than it was in 92?
Yes, but I don't know about it. South Sudan is...
That's more than a fair it's more than a fair comp. I mean, yes, should they have, as a 43-point favorite, should that game come down to it? No, I guess where I kind of am okay with it is the sense that they just absolutely wallop Joker in Serbia the week before, or whatever, the game before, a couple days prior. I mean, I do think there's a legitimate issue of, is their second team better than their first team? But I kind of get, you know, you're not bringing LeBron James off the bench. You're not bringing Steph Curry off the bench. And while it's like, it's a shaky, alarming result, it's tough for me to sit there and go, until they lose a game in the Olympics, it's tough for me to sit there and go, let's sound the alarms. Sorry, my wife was texting.
Oh, that's great. That's great. First of all, Jeffrey, unless something changed since I've been gone the last 2 weeks, I've been keeping up. Do they have a first team yet? Because I think that they changed the starting lineup a few times.
They just tipped off again, and right now, looking at it, so we got LeBron, Embiid, Booker, Curry, and I think that's Drew Holiday.
Yeah, I think Drew started 2 games, I saw, which is not their best.
This has been the lineup that has started the most. It's LeBron. It's been LeBron who just, with a two-handed reverse windmill dunk over Germany. This has been the starters. And then, to me, one of the big issues is, I get it, it's Embiid, whatnot, but, like, A, I'm not super pumped that he's on the team. Like, it just kind of feels like...
we're cheating.
Well, it also
Am
feels
I going too
like,
far with saying
no,
that?
It but it also feels like he's kind of ring-chasing, but not, like, he's medal-chasing.
Yeah, more so he's cheating.
Like, it's like, we just didn't need it. But really, the big deal is, right now, AD is playing awesome. Mm-hmm. And Embiid looks a lot like he did in the playoffs, where you're sitting there going, like, is this guy healthy? I have no idea. And so that's been kind of a – that's been an issue, is that big play with Embiid hasn't been great. They've been kind of sloppy with the ball, a lot of turnovers. But overall, it's like I just find it hard to believe we're going to roll out a lineup where LeBron's coming off the bench and Curry's coming off the bench.
Well, they shouldn't come off the bench. Kevin Durant has not been healthy, right?
Yeah, it does not appear he's playing either.
He's not playing right now. I think another issue, like you keep saying, I have a somewhat personal relationship with Devin Booker and Anthony Edwards, and I think the world is scared to say this, but Anthony Edwards, and I have fussed with my partners about this for 2 years, he's the best shooting guard in the NBA now. And so if we're going to keep it real with the starting five, Anthony Edwards should start at some point. And I think Devin Booker right there at 2, but I just think Anthony Edwards has that alpha male and that young next star. And I think he has shown this year alone he's the best shooting guard in the NBA.
Yeah, what I couldn't tell is Booker a placeholder for Durant, or is that Drew? Like, it was obvious to me, like, the starting lineup, I think, was going to be some combination of LeBron, Embiid, Curry, Durant. And so what I can't figure out is, was Durant going to take Booker's spot, or was Durant taking Drew's spot? And I guess he's taking Drew's spot, so they were going to have... a team still doesn't have, like, a pure point guard.
Pure point, yeah.
Although,
yeah.
I guess you could say Curry.
And some people say...
LeBron's at the point guard.
Jason Tatum's supposed to be getting into the lineup, too. They're supposed to be trying him.
So they had been kind of starting... Tatum and Booker kind of have... flip-flop. The thing that's very obvious is when we put our second team in, it's got to be the best second team, because no one else can even keep up. I mean, at that point, it's Ant. AD's been playing awesome. Like, that has been the team that's just been absolutely smoking folks.
Killing it. Yeah, for sure. For sure.
I'm trying to see. I had the plus-minus for the starters was kind of negative, and then the second unit was like plus 40 through 4 games.
So who do you think the best point guard on? I keep hearing you say it, because, like, I know this sounds crazy. I think Steph Curry is a point guard. I mean, some people saying the best of all time outside of Magic Johnson, even though he shoots a lot of threes. Drew Holiday is not – he's the best kind of playmaker. He's not your traditional type of point guard. Matter of fact, if you're talking about just a true point guard, you have to go with Halliburton, wouldn't it? And I know he's not finna start.
I would start Steph at one.
For sure.
But it really, like, when you're watching it, more times than not, LeBron's the point guard.
He can play point. He always had high IQ and stuff like that.
I was trying to see. Okay, so from the South Sudan game, we had, let's see what the starters were. Because that was the classic flipping back and forth. So that game was Drew, same starting lineup. It seems like they're settling in on this. Drew, LeBron, Embiid, Booker, Curry. Because that's the same starting lineup they trotted out. Then the first guys off the bench were Edwards, Tatum, Bam, AD, Derek White, and then Haliburton.
See, I'm with you. What I don't get, it feel like everybody else can somewhat be replaced. But it feel like Joel Embiid is a lock. And I'm with you. Why is that a lock? Like, why hadn't we tried AD? And Bam is really good, and he's hefty, and he's versatile. I don't see how, because I think the Embiid every game is throwing it off, too, a little bit. And Drew Holiday, I love him to death. I know you try to put in someone who doesn't like to shoot. Drew Holiday and Thad are great friends, but Drew Holiday is not a starter. I mean, some people question should he even be on this team. He's not a starter.
No, and then, I mean, I is Drew a Nike guy?
I don't think he's no, but he's probably, he ain't got no signature shoe. He might be a Nike guy, but he don't have a signature shoe.
Because it never made sense to me why Drew was on the team and Brown wasn't.
Now, I didn't even know if we were jumping in this subject today, Drew, but, I mean, Bobby got Jeffrey. I don't feel like Jaylen Brown is not on there because of the Nike thing. Because I'm going to tell you why.
It does feel like that's an Adidas. At least Brown thinks it's an Adidas Nike thing.
But the thing is, Anthony Edwards is Adidas. It's like 2-3 Adidas guys on the team. Anthony Edwards is the biggest Adidas guy ever. So Anthony Edwards just signed a crazy deal. So I think that's one thing you can put in play. But I don't think that's the full reason why he's not on the team. Now, does he go, and I know we switched the subject here, does he go on before Drew and his own teammates? Yes, but it's like 10 other people that got the same argument. He got Kyrie Irving and a few other guys who Damian Lillard that I feel like deserve to be on the team before the bottom three.
I mean, I do think to a certain degree, Drew's on the team because you do have to have somebody that's willing to play defense.
Exactly.
Like you do have to have, to a certain degree. I think really if where Brown would have the argument is when they added Derek White instead of Brown.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, like, I don't know. I don't know how the mechanics of it work. Where, you know, had Brown just decided, all right, now I'm not on the team. Like, I'm taking myself out. And whereas Derek White is like, hey, I'll be here if you call. Like, I don't know how the politics of it work.
For sure. I feel like the last three with anything, Jeffrey, like, you're a family man. And when you're planning a vacation or anything, right, I feel like the last three spots, the United States Commission of Basketball should just keep it real. I don't think when you get to the last three, even when I build a team, it has to do with who's the most talented at that point. I feel like you got to have somebody who's willing not to play that much. Some of these superstars
Correct.
Ain't going for that they're going to cry about. Let's be real. You got to have somebody, like you say, defense assist. So I feel like it's more about that. And I'm not sure Jaylen Brown would have wanted to come on the team after Finals MVP and been the last, you know, option on the team. But like I say, I still think it's like, Jeffrey, you can, I don't know if you agree or disagree with this, I still think it's like 10 other people in his boat that got that same argument. Like, I think Damian Lillard should be on this team. You know, I think Kyrie Irving should have had a real shot. I think they're better than Hollenberger and the last three people we said, Derek White. I think it's, I'm missing Paul Joe. I mean, it can go on and on. It's some James Hart. I mean, it's some really good players out there who just as good as Jaylen Brown. They're not coming off a Finals MVP that I think has an argument.
I think you're 100% right. When you get down to the end of the bench, and we're basically talking about injury replacements for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you are pretty much you're filling out the back part of your roster. So who's not going to have a problem if we don't play them? I think that's a huge part of it because at a certain level, everyone on this team is a. I mean, all right, let's see. Let's go through Hall of Famers. LeBron, duh. Steph, duh. I mean, I think at this point you have to say Tatum's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, if you had to put your money or life on the resume right now, if he didn't get hurt, yeah.
All right, AD, probably?
Yes.
All right, so we've already got... Now, here's where it starts to get, like, Embiid is... I don't know, but I... Since it's easier to make the Basketball Hall of Fame, I think I would probably vote yes.
Probably so, yeah.
We are talking about somebody who's been an MVP. Booker feels like he's got work to do.
But don't you think he likes the same category as Tatum a little bit? I know.
The only difference with Booker is with Tatum, you've already – Tatum now has the championship.
The ship. Okay.
But I think I would still vote eventually Booker's going to get there. But I'm still – like, to me, it's like with Tatum, you put it over the top because with a title – Durant's a Hall of Famer who's not playing.
For sure.
I mean, yeah, it makes sense to me that you're filling out the back end with guys like Derek White. Derek White's clearly a very good basketball player, but as you point out, I don't know, there's probably at least 15 other Americans we could go get that are better than Derek White, but at the same time, Derek White, if you put him on the bench, Derek White's going to be happy to be there.
For sure. And that's what anything with business, like, you want to get people who blend and don't mess it up either. But like you said, when you take a guy like Derrick White, and even Drew Holiday, I love Drew, because I don't want this to look like I'm bashing Drew, but Drew Holiday and Derrick White didn't even make the All-Star game. It's just, so that should let you know for sure they shouldn't be on the USA team. You know what I mean? And
if you're just trying to pick, whatever, the 12 best Americans, okay. Yes, I totally agree with you. Yes. I mean, like, it's, but at the same time, it's like, I kind of get it. It's like, has White, you know, well, let's see, Pop's not there. Right now the coaching staff is Kerr.
Ty Lue, Spoelstra.
Spo, and then Mark Few.
Yep.
Like, I don't know. Like, to me, it's like, there's always sometimes, like, I feel like system guys that have been, was Derek on the team last summer?
I know like you say, the coach from the Spurs, Pop used to try to bring him in. He loved Derek White. He loved his story. But like, you got to have some system.
Didn't
guy.
He have like Keon Johnson on the Olympic team 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
Not the real Olympic team, right? It must have been the team that they playing against right now that Cooper Flags then was on.
Who did
Keon Johnson from Tennessee? Did they?
No. Who did he bring in? He brought in, so Pop, because remember it was the Japan Olympics where not everybody played. I swear to God, who did he bring in? So last year the FIBA team. On the U.S. team that was on the FIBA team, right now we've got Halliburton.
Anthony Edwards.
And Ant.
Yeah. But that was the thing with Jaren Jackson Jr.
Correct. Bridges is not on there. Cam Johnson's not on there. Ingram's not on there. Paolo's not on there. Portis is not. Brunson's not. Josh Hart's not.
Now think about Brunson. Who has a better argument right now, Brunson or Brunson? I say it's some more people who has serious, you know, legitimate arguments just like Brown.
I mean, that's kind of my whole deal. It's like, I know there's politics involved, but I haven't, like, figured out what the politics are involved. Like, so...
I do think USA did made theirself... You made an argument. Why would you put four people on the same team on there? Even though we're going with role players at this point. Like, now I get it when you say, oh, well, they won a championship, they deserve it. You know, but four people on one team, that's crazy.
All right, where is... I want the Olympic... Because it was that weird, it was like happening in Tokyo, but it was a year later. Like, I remember our roster was like, all right, so that team had Bam, Booker, Durant, Jeremy Grant, totally forgot that he was an Olympian, Draymond, Keldon Johnson, who's who I was just trying to think of.
Oh, yeah, he was a Spurs guy. I was going to say Keldon Johnson.
So somebody dropped out. I remember somebody dropped out and they needed a replacement, and Pop just brought in Keldon Johnson. And I was like, at the time, I remember thinking, you can make an argument Keldon Johnson's the worst Olympian we've ever had. in the professional era.
You're probably right.
Yeah, I think it was Harden. Harden got hurt.
James Harden.
Yes. Harden got hurt, and then Kyrie got hurt. Yeah. I'm trying to think, because I think that's when they added... That was when they added Keldon Johnson. Because there's no universe where Keldon Johnson should have been on
should
the team.
Should be even be in there, yeah. Right? Maybe the team that they practice against.
All right. Anything else you want, Team USA? They're up, let's see, right now. They're taking on Germany, I think, in Germany. Or is this in London? Germany's also in their group, I believe. So they're up 18-15, and Team USA is on a 10-2 scoring run. And you'll never believe this. The second unit came in, and it's immediately a 10-2 run.
And that second group.
This second
good.
Group's not fair. Because right now the second group is Ant, AD, Derek White is in there. Then you have Tatum. And is that Halliburton, I think?
It felt like Halliburton got kicked out the rotation a little bit.
It looked like he had been bumped down. Let's see. Right now on the floor. Let's see. Live stats is what I want. Live stats. You have Ant, Derek White, Tatum, Bam. Bam's who I was blanking on. And then AD.
Oh, okay. Love Bam.
And they've immediately jumped out to a 10-2 run.
Because for us to just be a 3 and they jumped out 10-2, we was actually down this game, too.
Correct. We got down because we get very, very sloppy with it. All right, let's talk some Grizz. So let's start here. We talked about it on Friday, but I'm curious to know your thoughts. The Zaire Williams era is over.
Mm-hmm.
Do you fault them for taking Zaire when they did?
I'm going to say no. Okay, and I didn't even hear the show last week. You know, I've been gone.
You and I are on the same spot.
But I saw it because I saw Ja and all them retweeting it, everybody. You know,
he is very tight with Ja, apparently.
Yeah. I'm going to say this. This is what happens in the NBA sometime, even with Wiseman, with the Warriors. The year that we got that top 10 pick, we was kind of just becoming good. And I feel like no matter who they drafted, it would have been hard to get in a rotation because by that point, we had certain guys that had emerged. So at worst, whoever they picked top 10 would have been a good role player. And the top 10 guy usually is a guy you draft to come in. And at his position, like Baines and them was already developing at a high level at this time. So I felt like it was just an awkward situation because you got to draft players. You got to – what people know, people talk about the NBA max all the time. It is a floor. You have to spend so much money. You have to pay your draft picks. You have to pick when you – if you can't give it away, you have to accept the pick. And I just feel like it didn't help or hurt us anyway. So I wouldn't be mad with people who are mad because the Grizzlies picked them and didn't work out. I mean, what could they have done?
So here are the guys that go right after him. James Bouknight, he's only played 79 games.
Okay.
I mean, that was kind of, because, you know, he had a good kind of like little run with UConn. But Josh Primo, okay, got issues there. Chris Duarte, Moses Moody, Corey Kispert, who's like a three-point specialist, but it's not like, and then Alperen Sengun, but the Grizzlies weren't picking a big then. They just trade, the whole point of that was trading for Steven Adams. And then the one that people bring up, technically, the pick that the Grizzlies made was Trey Murphy. I just kind of go back to, my big deal is be consistent. And when the Grizzlies had that pick, for all the reasons that you just mentioned, the guys that you had, I thought you had an opportunity, take a swing.
Mm-hmm.
And if Zaire hits, Zaire's the type of player at that size, that length, if he can shoot, that's something that's very hard to come by. I think the real problem with it is, and I don't really, we don't know all the specifics. If you wanted to make an argument, trading up to 10 basically the week before the draft, when you couldn't tell how the draft was going to fall, their story is there was a pool of players that they would have liked, and they thought moving up to 10 assured that. Is Zaire in that pool? Maybe, maybe not. But what if we, what if it's a situation where to get the deal, and they very much wanted Steven Adams, and I think we can say like that, the injury thing sucks, but it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And the logic, they were a better team with Steven Adams than they were with Jonas. Like, what if that deal, if you don't pull the trigger, you're like, can we wait till draft night? Well, what if that deal goes to someone else? And to me, like, I just can't really look at it. I thought that was an appropriate time to take a swing. Zaire was a swing. It hasn't worked. Injury reasons, fit reasons. He didn't really develop as a shooter quite as much. But this is just one that I'm just not really holding against them. Like it's, and that's the other thing. It's like, do you want to spend another year trying to see if Zaire's, and then take minutes away from Vince, take minutes away from perhaps Gigi, Kennard? Like, it's guys that I don't really want him getting minutes from. And then I think he also had the weird reality of he plays at his best when Ja's on the floor. But at the same time, is like, are you sacrificing somebody else to put him on the floor with Ja, somebody that could be more meaningful?
No, I agree. I don't fault him. The only thing I would say, they moved up to get number 10.
They moved up. They were they I think they were at 17 and they moved up to 10 and they did the Jonas trade with the Pelicans. So it was like Jonas, they bring back Adams. I want to say they threw a pick in maybe.
I didn't realize.
So their pick was their pick actually becomes Trey Murphy. But if they take Trey Murphy at 10, everyone's going to sit there and go like, this is a massive reach.
Yeah, so what you're saying is maybe people don't know that they came with Adams. So if that's what you're saying is right, now what you're saying is not right and they moved up to get him, they might deserve a little blame because you don't have to, unless you just...
I think it's fair to say it's their biggest... It's this front office's biggest draft miss, and I don't really think there's anything a whole lot close.
I'm not big on the Tabeet thing at two.
Well, I'm saying this front office.
Oh, this is the front office.
The gold standard of bad draft picks will forever be Hashim Tabeet. When you had Marc Gasol on the roster.
Yeah.
Like, they believed in Marc so much. That's the whole thing. It's like, they believe in Marc so much, and then they take Tabeet. Now, granted, that was ownership probably stepping in, saying, I'm taking Tabeet. But the other problem with that is there's literally Hall of Famers drafted after him.
Yeah, at two, you get in more trouble than at nine.
Correct.
But I'm with you. And Trey Murphy went 10 in that draft or 17?
17.
Yeah, but do you really think Trey Murphy like would be that good? And at the end of the day, the NBA going to be what it's going to be. No, I don't fault him much. I hope that kid finally, you know, goes somewhere. But the Grizzlies, you know, they did like this year. The draft pick they got. We just see how it goes. You know, they needed that. Some people think that was too high of a pick. You know what I mean? But I don't blame them for that.
Yeah. The thing with Edie is if you were a team that had no talent, I think taking Edie in the top 10 is a mistake.
Okay.
But if you're the Grizzlies and you have this clear hole, which is that type of center, because Jaren's not that type of center. Mm-hmm. The trade market was not really there. The free agent market wasn't great. You're now at the point where you've got so much money locked up into three guys, and really fourth, because you can now throw in Marcus. You really only had one way out of it, and it was to get a center in the draft. And they're not asking Edie to be like the face of the franchise. Basically, what you're asking is, we need you to set some screens, create some space for Ja. We need you to get rebounds because that's not really what Jaren does best. And we need you to be another rim presence. Well, if you're just asking him to do all that, I think he can do that.
For sure.
It becomes very different for me if it's a team that stinks with no talent. And then you're trying, like, I don't think you build a team around Edie. But if you need Edie to be essentially a role-playing big, I think he's fully capable of doing that.
Yeah, and I agree. And once Donovan, it's like they wasn't finna move up. Once Donovan
Correct.
Was off,
I would have preferred Klingon, but
I would have. So some people going too far, like saying Edie is they all, you know, because some people just die hard. And I love the city of Memphis, but I'm a sports guy and I have intellect. I still think Klingon long term is a better player. People were saying in the game they played against each other, Edie. This is what Grizzly fans are saying. Edie had the better game. And I'm like, yeah, but Glennie moves better. He's an NBA guy. He ain't nothing but 19, 20 years old. But when you don't get him, I'm with you. Now, I think it's a pro and con with everything. The NBA is fast, and the Grizzlies are one of the fastest teams, and Ja Morant is one of the fastest players in the National Basketball Association. And so I think it will be a little adjustment there.
You cannot imagine, like, the style of play that he's had at Purdue the last 4 years mm-hmm. versus the NBA, I can't imagine a realistic style of play that has a bigger difference than that.
And then the Big Ten is already a little slower.
Yes.
Than Purdue. So my main thing would be with him. I think he had a good summer league, the few games I saw. I haven't probably kept up with every game, but I know early on he was having double-doubles and stuff like that. But defensively, that NBA pick-and-roll thing is off the chain, and I just don't know – how would he do there or whatever with the pick and roll, you know, defending. I'm talking about on the defending. Now, on the offensive side, when they're not playing fast, I can see him opening up big holes for Ja Morant, Desmond Baines, Jaren Jackson can do a lot more, free himself up because he can rebound. But I just think these days, especially playoffs, you see how bad they just did Luka in the final. Like, you know, Edie, you know, it's going to be a pro and con. I'm just – curious to see how this works out.
And in summer league, we didn't see what we're definitely going to see during the season, which is there weren't teams that can, like, hunt him and get him in the switch, get him away from the basket, pick on him. In the last game before he got hurt, there were, he went up against a little bit quicker big. And you can see this is not a perfect basketball player.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also thinking more times than not, when they get late in the playoffs, they're most likely finishing with Clark and Jaren anyway. So you're scaling down. My whole deal is, hey, it's an 82-game season, and you're going to need somebody to play 20, 25 minutes as that kind of big. If he becomes better, great. That's gravy. But like, they're going to need guys. They're just going to need guys throughout the year that are going to get rebounds, guys that are going to add a little bit. He's going to add a little bit more offensively than Steven Adams. It's not like Steven Adams was staying on the floor in the playoffs anyway. Like, to me, it's like they needed a role player, and they weren't really going to be able to do it through free agency. It didn't look like any trades really developed that they could actually execute. I was just fine with it. Now, yeah. Here's the question I wanted to talk to you, because we were talking about development, and I think this is one of the more fascinating things, I think, for this season, because everybody's very excited about Gigi. Mm-hmm. How would you handle Gigi this year? Because last year, it's the perfect situation. Everybody's hurt. Gigi, go take all the shots you need. Like, go just play. But this year, you're now back into win-now mode, and I just think it's really tough to develop when you're not on the floor that much. How would you handle it this year? Because it feels like now he's going to be behind, well, we know he's going to be behind the starting five, probably going to be behind Kennard, Clark, Aldama even. So we're kind of talking like somewhere between 9 and 10. And maybe, I guess you could even say like maybe, I think he's going to be in the 10-man rotation. But how would you handle that? Because I just think it's so hard to truly develop as a player when you're just not going to be on the floor as much.
Gigi would be in my top 8-man rotation.
In front of, so how would you roll with it right now?
So you got, who are you putting in the starting five?
All right, so if it were a basketball-only question, then you and I know that it's not. If it were a basketball-only question, it seems to me the smart thing to do would be Jot the one, Dez at the two, Vince at the three, Jaren at the four, Edie at the five.
Okay.
I don't think it's going to be a basketball-only question, and so I think it's going to be Jot the one, Dez at the two, Marcus as the three.
Okay.
Jaren and Edie.
Okay. And so the reserves right now will be Vince.
Vince. So Vince, Vince, Kennard, Aldama, and then I think, oh, Clark, and then Gigi.
Damn, what about Derrick Rose? Is he not on the same?
I think Derrick's going to be, I think if Derrick plays more than like 30, 40 games, I'd be surprised.
Really?
I think Derrick's going to be, I mean, do you think his body can handle it right now? I mean, we saw last year, like, you know, if he played multiple games in a row, just his body couldn't hold up.
Yeah, I'm going to be real. I don't know who I would take out. Clark is a backup for the bigs, okay?
Correct.
Gigi would be my wing. Him and, with it, Vince?
Yes.
I would probably put him, what's the guy, the name, the foreign guy you keep name?
Santi. Santi's basically in a contract year.
And how much did Lawrence Kennard, I thought he had got.
So Kennard hasn't technically signed the new deal.
That's what I thought. I thought I saw that he opted out and they let him go somewhere.
It was a team option. They opted out because they couldn't do 14 and a half.
Okay.
They now have cleared salary by trading Zaire. You've cleared enough to where he's probably either getting like 2 at 20 or 3 at 27, something like that.
But see, I was thinking like a team like the Lakers or somebody would have been that came in, or somebody who needs shooting.
Most believe that even though it hasn't happened, it's going to happen.
He will be here.
Correct. Because even when Woj had the story about trading Zaire, in the third paragraph, he included, it's to make room for Kennard.
Okay. Well, I will say this. I know this is going probably, let's say, a big swing. So yeah. I'm going to go a big swing here. But it's not a big swing because I also understand basketball from middle school, high school, college, and NBA. Somehow, Gigi would be in my top eight. He's too good of a talent not to develop him right now. I think it's time. Man, if y'all want to sit on him one more year, but by year three, he got to be in the top eight. And another thing, I don't know when Marcus Smart's contract is up, and I know people are going to go crazy when I say this. I think our true starting I mean, our true backup point guard for the future is Scottie Pippen Jr. I love the minutes he got at the end of last year, and now he has not let me down in summer league, triple-double, historic stats, and I think that he is should be the backup point guard here, the future.
And I think that's where this is headed. If you made me bet they don't actually end up filling the last roster spot, and then there's going to be – they get 50 games with Scottie, and I think – that's kind of what you're going to see. Scottie's probably going to, but there's no reason to do it right now to move him up. If you made me guess, that's where it's headed. Scottie, by come playoff time, Scottie will end up being the backup point guard.
I think we don't talk about it enough how good he did at his certain, like the last few games last year. People talk about the GG and some other guys, but I think Scottie did a really, really good job. And, you know, you either love or hate Marcus Smart. I think he's a good player. I think he's even a potential great player. But I don't think he fits in all things with all teams. And I think when you – like at the three, do you really like him as a small forward?
No, because they're so small on the perimeter. That means you got Ja, Dez, and Marcus. And, yeah, they believe Marcus can guard up.
He can. Now, he can't do that. He's tough enough. But for me, and I don't want to say that about the man Ja because I like him, but – he might be the elephants in the room.
Defensively.
Jeffrey. He might be the elephants in the room, too. I think if he out the way, everybody we're saying from the rotation in Scottie, it all fluens in. Now you can put Vince in there, or potentially if you just want to treat Gigi like I probably would, like Edie, knowing even though he's going to start, he's not going to get the most minutes
correct
at that position. You know, but we're grooming our future. That's kind of how I would go with it. And I know you was looking it up. How long do Smart got on?
Mark's got 2 years left. So he's got this year and next year.
Oh, he got 2 years. So no team or player option last next year.
It's not showing as an option. It's showing as I think both are guaranteed.
And that means it might be a player option there. How tall is Vince? Vince was about 6'5", 6'6", or not that tall?
So Vince is 6'4", but he got the long arms.
Got the long. Okay. Whew. I don't know if you can do all three of them all year.
I think there's starting to be a crowd still. I think there's, let's see. So, no options. He will just be an undrafted free agent or unrestricted free agent starting 26-27 for Marcus. All right, let's talk some Tiger basketball. Let's do that next. Munz is going to join the program as he does each and every Monday. Stick around. You're listening to Jeffrey Wright and Company on 92.9 FM ESPN.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Now, because I could listen to this whole thing 100 times, it's Chip Away the Stone by Aerosmith, recorded in 1978, but not released until 1988. The studio version, I should say, was not released until 1988. But yes, it's like an almost 40-year-old, what it is, a 46-year-old song.
10 years in the can? That's a long time to hold a song in the can.
A live version of it was released in 1978 on a live album. And anyway, they didn't release the studio version until 1988. And it's just, I don't know, like, listen to it, man. It's like a good radio hit, like, and it's highly, it's underappreciated. And it fits with the news of the day.
You were out there. You saw some construction, did you?
I saw some chipping away of
some
stone.
Some demolition, yes. I guess, right?
No, well, I don't know.
I don't know. I saw Mark quote tweeted you, and he said he was very upset that there, he's disappointed there wasn't a button to push, but I know the when you do the dynamite stuff, that's like $3 million, and I get not spending money on that.
I guess, yeah, I mean, I think technically demolition work began, but there was not, like, there was no button pushed, no lever pulled, no wrecking ball swung. We were standing there and the machines started to move. It felt like, we're at a monster truck rally or like a scene out of, did you ever see Maximum Overdrive?
Oh yeah.
The movie from the 80s where like the semi-truck.
That's a film.
Yeah, like that's, it doesn't get much better than that, but it was like, I felt like sort of, you know, it was like you can't really see the dudes in the big machines in front of us, like, and they all start moving and they're kind of like, it was almost like they were dancing in a way. But anyway, they had like some rock breakers, and they, you know, a little bit after 10 this morning, they start poking holes in the Liberty Bowl and chipping away at it. And that's what's going to be going on there for like the next 3 weeks until the majority of the west side is all torn down.
Do we know what is the stadium going to look like when people go to game one?
I don't know that has been
determined yet.
Yeah. Like, I mean, so if it's 3 weeks from today, let's say, the majority of the west side is going to be down. That's going to be right at a week before kickoff, or a little thereabouts, of the first game. And so it's going to be pretty fresh. You know what I mean? Whatever it's going to look like. I don't know if there's going to be like plastic sheeting or I'm sure
just like empty space. Like, you know, when we always see like construction throughout years when like there's just like empty sections.
Maybe. I mean, I guess that's entirely possible. And I feel like we will get more details about that the closer we get to kickoff. But, it's going to look very different. The way Jeff Crane put it this morning was it's going to be quite a disturbance, for a while, over the next two football seasons. Because it's not just tearing it down, like they're going to rebuild it too, and that work is going to be going on, you know, this whole time. And so it's definitely going to be busy, and it's probably, you know, a lot of people are probably going to get tired of it pretty quick, I would think. But you got to keep your eye on the prize. You got to keep your sight set on what it is that they are moving toward, and that should be enough to help you get over whatever annoyances there may be.
All right, I don't want to put you on the spot, but Herd and I were talking talking off the air, and I didn't really have a great answer for him. We've spent
Where
so much.
Is he with you right now?
He's with us. He's here, baby.
Oh man, I was excited. I was like, when I saw that he was the guest this week, I was like, oh, let's go.
It's. I mean, it's exciting times here in the studio. But he and I were talking. You know, now, you know, so much of the roster is done through the portal. But he just got back from Peach Jam. Do we know of, like, upcoming seniors? Like, who are the Tigers in on? Because, like, I, that's the thing. It's like now it just feels like high school recruiting. I'm not even saying Memphis. I'm just talking about in general. It's like it's almost de-emphasized. And I was like, I didn't have a great answer for them, who they were had their sights set on.
So I could, if like I was going to be on longer, I could pull up a story that I wrote a couple of weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I got this question from somebody and put it in the mailbag. They went on a run, you know, a few weeks ago where they were putting out offers to quite a few guys, 2025 guys, but I don't have that list.
The July 3rd mailbag?
Maybe. It was one of the more recent, it was like one of the ones in the last, in the last month. It may have been that, because I did one like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, so it's going to be one of those, But they're like I said, they did go on a run where they were, you know, making contact and giving, you know, putting out offers to some 2025 guys, and then obviously Penny was at Peach Jam for a little while. Leon Taylor, I believe it was, who put out the photo of Penny in the building, and so, you know, I don't think. Yeah, like they're very clearly not ignoring.
All right, I've got your story. All right, Herd, tell me if you know anything about these guys. So, from 5-star small forward Caleb Holt.
Oh, for sure. That's 2026 though.
Buckhorn. So he would be a junior.
Yeah, he's out of Alabama, out of the Huntsville area.
All right, Little Rock shooting guard JJ Andrews.
Yeah, he's 2026 also.
Okay.
Really good.
Germantown, Mississippi. So Jackson.
Sam. He punches for us. Yep.
Okay. Tyler Jones from Christ School, North Carolina.
Yeah, that's 2026.
He used to be at ECS.
Yep.
Shooting guard from St. Pius in Atlanta, Tobias Brinkley.
Okay. Yep.
Is he 26 or 25?
I think he's 26 also.
Okay. Trinity out of Louisville, Jaden Johnson.
Yeah, I think, is this a 2026 thing you did, Montage, or is this 25? Because these are 26s.
Yeah. The majority of these are 26s. I don't remember. Like I said, I don't remember off the top of my head what 25s they are. You know, currently going after seriously. But if we can extrapolate something from the fact that they are.
Heavy 26.
Yeah. Well, and those are some really.
If they're going after 26 guys, they're certainly going after 25 guys. So that's how I feel.
All right. I was trying to see if there was like targets.
And he was definitely at 17 U games. He came to our game at Peach Jam when Leah took the picture. So he's looking at, I mean, he has offered a couple of our kids, of course, Jasper Johnson.
What about Fleming?
Jamar Fleming. He's in deep talk with him. Him and most SEC. So, yeah, he was at 17 U games. So, he's for sure looking at 2025. But I don't blame him, because that 2026 you have on there, just them are some really, really good prospects. And they're close by. Alabama, Arkansas, they're really good. So, that's J.J. Andrews just won a 16 U Peace Jam yesterday. So, that's pretty
good.
He's
another one I know for a fact that they have offered, that Penny has offered. But I did just see where Fleming has got visits set up to what? Ole Miss and Mississippi State, maybe one other visit.
Yeah. And he lives in Mississippi, so that's a kind of normal for the top players to visit Ole Miss and Mississippi State. He's in Canton, Mississippi, right outside of Jackson, 6'10", can do everything. So definitely I know Penny will get more involved with him, because he's definitely good enough.
I agree. I saw him over at the event center and talked to you about him. Back in, what was it, May? Was it May?
Was it the EYBL event? I think that was last weekend in April. Right? Like, he did really good against the Oakland Soldiers and the family and all. And when we talked, that was the last weekend in April when Nike had the EYBL event here.
Yep. He was very good. I was very impressed with him. And so, that would be good for Memphis if they could get in with him too.
Yeah, I don't think Penny is going away from high school ball, but I will say this. I was talking with, some of the top head coaches, everybody's at PJM. I just don't think you sweat no more when you miss out on a high school kid. I don't think you're against it, but I don't think back in the day it was like, oh, we missed out on the 25 player or the 15. I think you can actually go to a mid-major school and get somebody who averaging 12 points that would be equivalent, if not better, than an upcoming freshman. Unfortunately, that's the way it's turning.
Well, yeah, I mean, just look at this year. Yeah, they went after Billy Richmond. Yeah, they went after Curtis Givens, and they only got, and I say only, I mean, they wound up getting one freshman, Jared Harris. And I don't think, as you said, they're not like, Memphis is not like, crying a river or anything. They're very happy with what they have, and I think rightfully so. I mean, they've put together, I think, and I've talked to Jeffrey about this quite a bunch. They've got a guy who's got six NCAA tournament wins under his belt already, uh-huh, running the point. Uh-huh. They've got guys who you got PJ Haggerty, who was a freshman of the year in the nation last year by one service, and then you can go on down the list. You got Colby Rogers, who was a top, whatever he was, 50 or 100 three-point shooter in the country last year. He may have even been top 20, I think. They're doing just fine. But to Jeffrey's point earlier, is they are not completely getting away from recruiting high schools.
Yeah, so over at Go Tigers 247 or 24/7, as mentioned, you said Jasper Johnson. The other ones that are listed, but no one really has, it seems like most of the interest is cool, but there's Chris Cenac, am I saying that right, out of Branson?
Louisiana. He's finna go to Link now. That's why they got Branson, Missouri.
Yeah.
But he's out of Louisiana. Yep.
All right, then Xavion Staten, out of Vegas.
Okay.
Keon Anthony out of Long Island Lutheran.
Yeah, that's Mello's son.
Yeah, okay. Kyan,
beg your pardon. Jerry Easter, that also at Link.
He's going to Link now. He's out of Ohio. He went to Lalamere last year.
And then I have no chance of saying Francis Chukwudubwiu.
Where he's out of?
He's at Oak Hill now.
Okay. Yeah. Everybody struggles with his. Okay. Uh huh.
But I mean, to me, it almost says, like, as of right now, like, I take note that there's more focus on the 26 class than the 25 class.
It kind of feels that way. But I don't know if that's just the way the cycles go, or if it's just a matter of, circumstance, like the 26 class, they feel like they've got better traction with more guys in the 26 class than they did the 25 class. I don't really know. The bottom line here is that this is not going away. Like, the building the roster the way they have the last couple of years is not going to be just a passing fad. Like, this is here to stay. At least for the foreseeable future. I mean, it certainly could change. It could swing the other way, maybe. But for now, this is the way it is, and I guess we all better get used to it.
All right, then we also got the conference pairings for next year.
Oh, yeah. Exciting stuff, yes.
Okay, so in terms of, they're going to get UAB and FAU twice.
Yep.
They're also, let's see, the other multiples are USF, Wichita State, Temple, and Rice, correct?
Yes.
So for the first time since 13-14, that means Memphis will only get Tulane once, and that game's the game's going to be in New Orleans. Presumably, you could already just set your clocks to it. I hope they stick with the traditional New Year's Eve date. And then,
I thought you were going to say we can set our clocks to a loss.
Well, no, I'm just saying, like, you know.
House of Horrors. That has been a house of horrors down there for them the last few years. But no, no, you're right. I hopefully it's around New Year's Eve. I don't think it was last year. Maybe it was. I don't know.
I think you're right. I think it was like a week later.
Yeah, but that is always the preferred destination for around New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, is New Orleans. If I have to be, you know, if it can't be here, New Orleans is the preferred destination.
So then that also leaves UTSA and Charlotte as road-only opponents, giving Memphis for home-only opponents East Carolina, Tulsa, and North Texas. When you think about the schedule, what comes to mind?
The only thing I would say is, you know, when
from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.